Hey, everybody. Welcome to the First Press Sermon Podcast. At the end of the podcast, please take a moment to subscribe to this channel or our YouTube channel to stay up to date with our latest Sunday messages. We are so glad to have you joining us, and we are praying that the following message might inspire you to take your next steps toward Jesus.
Amen. We give thanks for God who has so many things. He's so manifestly present to us in so many different ways. And he's very present to us in the Spirit as we gather. Thank you for being here to be a part of Easter. You know, for those of us, maybe you're exploring the faith, maybe you got dragged here by a friend, but we're so glad that you're here. For those of us who are Christians, and maybe that's you, you know, if this Sunday didn't happen, none of the Sundays would happen. Did you know that? This is it. Christ is risen from the dead. I'm going to read to you. We've been studying John the first few chapters. I'm going to read John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. I invite you to open your Bibles or navigate to it on your phone or to receive the scriptures how they come to you easiest. And as we open the Bible, as we open the Word of God, let's open our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray as we're gathered here in this hour that you would send your Holy Spirit so that as we look into your scriptures, your holy word, we can actually hear your voice. We can hear you, Jesus, and be drawn towards you in love. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And the church said, amen. John 3 at 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have been done has been done in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved. He so loved. There's at least three aspects to that, that God so loved. There's three aspects to that tiny little word, so. It's a matter of degrees. How much did God love? How much did God, he so loved the world. It's a question of the manner or the way. In what way, how did God love the world? Well, he loved the world just so. He loved it in this way, in this manner. And we also use that little word to sum everything up, you know? We say, so, at the end of the day, that's what happened. God so loved. That's how everything gets summed up. Three different aspects. Our series is All for Love, All for Love. And our prayer for you today in this hour of worship, my prayer for you, is that you don't just think about God's love. You don't just learn something about God's love. You don't just debate God's love or wrestle with it in your mind. My prayer for you, every one of you, is that you feel something of God's love today. That you leave here saying, I felt loved by God. So I'm asking you to open your heart to that. Would you be willing to try to feel how God loves you? God so loved. It's a matter of degree. How much did God love? Can you begin to grasp how much God loves you? When my kids were little, we read to them this book, Guess How Much I Love You. Have anybody read this book? Yes. You've read that? Yeah? Good for you. And yeah, you read it. It's great for Easter too. It's a couple little bunnies, you know? We all know how important bunnies are at Easter. But yeah, you got the daddy rabbit and you got the little kid rabbit, and the kid says, the little kid rabbit says to his dad, I love you this much, and he spreads his little bunny arms, but they only go like this, you know? So the father says, oh yeah, well, I love you this much. And his arms spread out twice as wide. Little rabbit says, ooh, that's a lot. He says, I love you up to the top of my ears. And the father rabbit says, well, I love you up to the top of my ears. The little rabbit says, ooh, that's a lot, right? And it goes on like that, you know, until they're loving each other out to the fence and over the hill and out to the horizon, up to the sky. And then the little bunny rabbit is falling asleep at the end. And as he drifts off to sleep in his little bunny bed, he says, Daddy, I love you all the way to the moon. And then he falls asleep and the dad bends over and whispers in his fuzzy little bunny ears, I love you all the way to the moon. Anybody know it? And back. Got him. Dad always wins, right? Yep, got him. I love you even more than that. But, you know, parents always want their kids to know how much they love them. You hope that your kids remember how much you love them when you're a parent. But it's hard to remember love. It kind of, your parents' love, it kind of fades away or kind of drifts off. You forget your parents' love. Maybe it's tainted by parents' imperfections and mistakes. We all make mistakes. But parents always want their kids to remember how much they love them. Abigail and I, we pray that our kids will always, no matter what stage of their life, will always know that we love them through and through, no matter what. But our kids did say they did not remember reading that book. We only read it like 4,000 times. But we forget a parent's love. Do you forget God's love? No. When you forget God's love, bad things happen. Don't forget God's love. Can you guess how much I love you, says God? Can you fathom how much I love you? It's the simplest message, but you will never be finished plumbing its depths. God loves you more than you could ever imagine. Can you feel God's love? Can you remember God's love? God loved you so much. How did God love? God loved you so much. God so loved the world. He gave his one and only son. Ooh, that's a lot. It's a matter of degree, God so loved. And it's a question of how, of manner. How did God love the world? Well, he loved the world in this way, in this manner. He gave his son. God so loved, he gave his son. Well, help me with that. I've never been loved like that. I've never had somebody say, I love you. I love you. So here's my son, right? I've never experienced that. Have you experienced that? That would be a little bit different. How do we understand this kind of love, a father who gives his son? Well, to understand that, we've got to loop back around a little bit, so walk with me. What's the object of God's love? The object of God's love is the world. God so loved the world. God loves the world that he made. God is our creator God. All of us, all of this, everything that you see, we are all the makings of God, the creator. And God loves the world that he made, the cosmos in the Greek. We are his creation. And we see and feel some of that love as we go through life. I think particularly here in Colorado, it's not that hard to feel the love of God through the beauty of creation. Every time we look around, we see things that are just gorgeous. And we say, what do we say? We say, how lovely. Yes, how lovely. But folks, how loving of God. Every sunrise against the mountains is God's active expression of love for you. Can you feel a little bit of his love? In the fingerprints, in the beauty of creation. God is our creator and God is an artist. He loves beauty. Pastor John Burke, in a book called Unshockable Love, he says, you know, every artist accepts the limitations of their medium. You artists in the room know what I'm talking about. A painter accepts the limitations of paint. Like, this is what the colors can do. This is what the paint can do. This is the limits of the canvas. This is what the brushes can do. You understand the limitations. A sculptor understands the limitations of clay or bronze or what they're working with. The musician understands the limitations of the instruments and what they can do or what they can't do. An artist accepts that I'm going to be working within the limitations of the medium that I'm working with. You see? And you say, what does that have to do with God? Doesn't God have no limitations? Can't God do whatever he wants? Yes, but think about this. What God set out to do is to create a very special thing, a very special piece of art, What God set out to do is to create love. Love. To create a love relationship with you. And you're the pinnacle of his creation. There's nothing that God made that he considers more majestic, more beautiful than you. He loves you. He smiles of you when he thinks of you and making you in his image. You're the pinnacle of his creation. But he created you to participate in his most heartfelt, most majestic, most beautiful piece of art, love. And God, yes, even God, as an artist, God accepts the limitations of the medium that he himself created, love. What are those limitations? Love must be free. Love can't be forced. John Burke said this. He wrote, "Love cannot be forced, it must be free. Once God chose to create creatures like us who could love, he limited himself by creating a world that could choose to reject or ignore our Creator and go against his will and spurn his love." See, that's the limitations of the medium. God says, yeah, I understand. Love has got to be free. Love must be free. It can't just be pre-programmed, downloaded. It can't just be part of the algorithm that's downloaded into your hard drive, okay? It has to be free. Have you come across this thing, AI companions, yet? Have you heard about this? That we can have like an artificially generated, you know, an artificial intelligence person who will speak back to us on the screen and tell us whatever we like. You know, eventually, we're going to all be walking around with little robots that are following us around, just telling us how awesome we are. Just like, great decision, boss. And, you know, you look great today. I love that you picked that shirt. What a smart thing to say. They're just going to follow us around. You know, you look great. I can't imagine what could possibly go wrong. It's going to be awesome. God didn't want that. That's not what God created. Automatons and robots just saying, you're awesome, you're awesome. What did God want? God wanted to create love. Love has got to be free. God wanted real love, genuine and beautiful and true. And that means he accepted the limitation that the one that I love might turn away from me. And you know what, friends? All of us, in one way or another, all of us and each of us, we did turn away in our freedom. We have spurned God's love. We have rejected his will. Broken our relationship with God. And the passage uses a word to describe that. It says we're condemned. That's strong language, isn't it? Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Condemned already? Just for not believing? That sounds very harsh. Well, if you're exploring this or you're new to this, you need to understand you're jumping in the middle of a really long story. God created this world in love. God created this world in love and for love. And this world, all of us and each of us, we turned away from God's love. And when we ruptured that relationship by our rebellions, our little rebellions or our grand, grandiose, raging rebellions against God, we broke that relationship. And when you break relationship with God, everything spins out of control. And now we know that there's something wrong in the world. Every one of us can see that there's something wrong in the world and it needs to be fixed. And in fact, it runs right through us. We feel it ourselves, that there's something wrong. And when I do these certain things, I feel wrong. My conscience burns. When I do this thing again that I know I don't want to do anymore, and I think, why am I doing that? When I'm struggling with these things, I think, why am I trapped like this? There's something wrong in the world and it needs fixed, and it runs right through my own heart. Those are indicators. Those are indicators that something is broken. Okay, but how do you get to condemned? Listen, when you turn your back on the light, You're pointing your face into the shadows. And when you turn your back on God, when you break relationship with the author of life, you turn your back on his light and you walk into the shadows of darkness and death. And when you've broken your relationship with the author of life, you begin a long, slow, and steady walk into eternal darkness. It's like a man who's condemned and is on death row and is just watching the days tick by. But you know what? God loves that man. God still loves that man. God still loves that woman. And he chases after. God so loved. He so loved. And giving his son Jesus, Jesus is the way to change that. Jesus is the offer of salvation, to end the condemnation, to turn from the darkness, to step into the light, to find eternal life in him. So again, how did God love? Well, God so loved. God loved just so, in this manner, in this way. He gave his son. Say it with me, this John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, he loved the world. He loved the world that he made. He loved the mountains and the lakes and the beauty and the rivers, and he loved that world. Is that what you're talking about? He loved the cosmos, the creation. Well, yes, he does love that. He is redeeming that. But the world is also people. Jesus came to save people. People like you and me. Rebels who had fallen into sin. See, we see that in John chapter 1 when Jesus came into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Well, the world, that's not, the mountains didn't recognize him, that's people, you see. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I want you to see the world is not just the creation, it's not just the mountains, it's people. Jesus came to save people like you and me, people who had rebelled from his love and turned from his light. He came to save people. And even while they were rejecting him, God so loved the world that he gave his son. And some of them stopped running from God. Some of them turned. Some of them received him. Some of them believed him, and they became children of God. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. He gave him. It's a gift. It's a gift of sacrifice. Jesus came, Jesus lived, and Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our rebellion. He paid in our place. He died on the cross for us, for you, for me. He died out of love for us. He gave his life. Why? Well, because there is no one on earth who could pay that price. You and I, we can't pay the price for our own sin. We can't buy our own way out of our debt. We can't pay that price. There had to be a price paid. There had to be a life to gain rebirth. And Jesus came. The cross is the culmination of Jesus' mission of love. The only way that God could be both just and the justifier of those who believe, that God could be both righteous and the forgiver of those who were in rebellion to him. The only way that God could be both things, you see, because God must be just. He must punish wrongdoing. He must set things right. He must be righteous and holy. But he wants to forgive. The only way that he can be both is to send his own son, Jesus, to die on the cross and pay that price on behalf of rebels. But there's a little mystery in here. That phrase, one and only son, one and only, sometimes we say only begotten, the only begotten son of God, it's Greek, it's monogenous, it's this uniquely generated, it's this relationship between the father and the son that's very, it points to a mystery, that little phrase. And that mystery is this. Jesus is God. It's God himself. There's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's God himself. God himself paid the price. He paid the cost. God himself paid the price so that we could be redeemed. God would not do that unless he loved you. Can you feel his love? Will you open your heart to his love? So God loved. Each week we've been raising a question that you folks who are in Generation Z ask yourselves as you make sense of the world around you. Gen Z asks, what is my worth? What is my worth? What am I worth? What's my value? We all ask this one. And it kind of matters like where you're asking. What are you asking about? Are you asking about like your job? Maybe you're a young adult, you're just getting started in work and you think, well, I'm doing pretty good at this, but I'm not sure if I'm gonna be the best there ever was at this, you know? What's my worth? What's my value? Are you thinking about your body? Like how people look at you, you know? When you're young, you're thinking, well, I'm young right now. I mean, my body's doing pretty good. Like you're looking pretty good compared to, well, never mind that, never mind. But you feel pretty good about it. But even though, and that's in that glowing, you know, young 20s stage, you know, where everything's just, you know that beauty is fleeting, that beauty is passing, that's impermanent, it's not gonna last. So you ask, what is my worth? What's my value? God sets your worth at this price, at this value. See, the price isn't what you say it is, it's what the market will bear, right? God sets your worth, your price, at this value. God sets your value here. Your worth is proven in the life and death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. God says, what are you worth? You are worth the life of my own Son. That's your worth. Can you feel his love? God so loved, it's a matter of degree. How much did God love? God so loved, it's a question of way, of manner. How did God love? How did God love the world? And God so loved, we sum it all up with this. God, at the end of the day, God so loved. He loved. He gave his son Jesus. And his son came and lived, and his son died on the cross, and his son was laid in a tomb outside the gates of Jerusalem, and that tomb was found empty. And that Jesus was seen alive again after he was dead. That's why we say on Easter, you can say it with me, he is risen. He is risen indeed, because Jesus lives again. And now we can understand the back half of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, say it with me, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever, it doesn't matter what you've done up till now. It doesn't matter where you've been or what mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter what you've experienced of God or what you're carrying into this room. Whoever believes in him, whoever, will not perish, but have eternal life. And you might want to run away instead. You might want to turn and say, too close. The light's getting too close. I kind of want to run away from this. Jesus knows that. In fact, our passage explains it. We want to run to the dark. This is the verdict, verse 19. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Well, that's all of us. We've all got that. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Well, that's all of us. None of us wants to be exposed. We think we can hide in the dark. We think like little kids playing hide and seek. We think we can hide ourselves by, you know, by covering our own eyes. Nobody can see me. And we think if no one knows about it, if nobody sees me do it, just don't tell anybody, just don't tell anyone. If it's on a private browser, if I can cover my tracks, nobody needs to know. God knows. Did we think he couldn't see us there in the dark? And Folks, the problem isn't that we do these dark things in dark places and that we wound ourselves and we hide and cover over our wounds until they become putrid and can't heal. That's a problem. But the bigger problem is that the dark things that we do in dark places, they seep out into the rest of the world. Where do you think racism comes from? Where do you think war comes from? And anger and lust and envy and greed and all the rest of it. Where does that emerge? From dark hearts and dark places, allowing dark things to grow, seeking darkness. It can stop. The light can come. The turn can come. A new life can emerge. Do you know how much God loves you? Can you see how much he loves you in the end? God so loved the world. The father sits on the edge of the bed and says to the child, guess how much I love you? This much? No, more. More, Daddy. This much? No, Daddy, more. More than that. Can you guess how much I love you? This much? Arms outstretched, fingertips spread out. This much without limit, without border, without boundary. This much a fathomless love that never ends, a love that reaches out to grasp the entire world, to grasp the entire cosmos. This much, can you see? Can you guess how much I love you? Can you see Jesus Christ, God's own Son, stretched out on the cross? Jesus stretches his arms out wide and says, forever, forever, I love you. More than you could ever imagine. What has gotten in the way of God's love in your life? What has caused you to think, I don't believe that. I can't feel God's love. Look again to Jesus Christ. Look again to his Son on the cross who gave his life for you. Open your heart to his love. I want to invite you to pray before we leave worship here. For some of you, this is a continuation of a relationship that you have with Jesus, that you pray often. But for some of you in the room, you've never opened your lips in prayer to the living God who sent his Son to die for you. And now is a time to do that. Now is a time to begin. Just by following along in prayer. I'm going to pray, and as you like, just follow along with me in prayer. But I encourage all of you to follow me in prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Repeat after me. I pray to you, O God, you who made heaven and earth, you who made me. If I have refused your love, I'm sorry. Forgive me through Jesus. Come into my life and let me feel your love. Today, tomorrow, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you all.
Once again, thanks for listening. To plan your visit, head to our website, firstpresscos.org. That's firstpresscos.org.